In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Mary sings of the great reversal. The mighty are thrown down while the lowly are exalted. The hungry are filled with every good thing while the rich receive nothing. The Lord God leaves his heaven to dwell in the womb of a virgin, and this lowly servant from insignificant Nazareth is blessed. No other woman gives birth as a virgin. No other woman is the mother of God. No other woman can call God her son. So Saint Mary has received the highest honor a woman could have. We rightly call her the Blessed Virgin Mary. But many abuse her. The Roman Catholics who follow the teachings of the Pope declare that she is Queen of Heaven. They claim that she was conceived without sin. They call her co-redemptrix, which means she helped Christ win our salvation. So they have two saviors, Christ and Mary. So it's no surprise that they pray to her, light candles to her, and worship her. The Virgin Mary would weep over such blasphemous idolatries. Reacting to this, or should I say overreacting to this, many others simply ignore her and thus abuse her. We're comfortable naming our churches St. Peter, St. James, St. John, St. Paul, but why is there no St. Mary Evangelical Lutheran Church? Ironically, that was the name of Luther's church in Wittenberg, and the name was never changed. And so many fail to see that she is the fulfillment of Eve, of Sarah, of Rebecca, and of all women who had borne children. She is the fulfillment of the Ark of the Covenant, for God dwelt in her. And she is the woman in Revelation, clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. We will not worship her, pray to her, or make her our savior, but neither will we ignore her. She is blessed by God. There were other pious virgins from the house of David, but God chose Mary by grace. There were other poor women in Galilee, but God exalted her to be his mother by grace. Motherhood is such a lovely vocation. A new mother is filled with joy. She loves her child before he's even born, and long after, she remembers how she carried him in her womb for 9 months. The first heartbeat, the first kick, the first time her child gazed up into her eyes. Mary has all of those memories. Only her child was God. The first time God looked up and gazed into her eyes. Out of all the vocations a woman could receive, motherhood is the highest and the greatest. Would that we all honor and thank our mothers and treat them with the highest respect. Would that all women desire this vocation, see how richly God has blessed it, and carry it out in godliness. So pregnant with the Son of God, this new mother sings to her child her first lullaby in what we call the Magnificat. God, her Savior, has taken her flesh and blood to fulfill the promise given to Abraham. It's the great reversal, not of society, not with societal effect, but with eternal effect. He will lift men out of the sludge and sewage of this world and to himself in heaven. He will exalt the sinner, honor the worthless, raise the dead, open the eyes of the blind. Those who have nothing, nothing to give to God will be saved by grace. Those who think they are something, those who think they are important, movers and shakers in the world, they think they have some purpose and meaning. They're necessary for this life. They will be brought down, cast down, humiliated, brought to despair, so that they too might be saved by grace. God shows no partiality. He is not impressed by titles, degrees, positions of authority. He is not awestruck by athletes, actors, or entrepreneurs. Neither is he amazed by the rich and famous. In his eyes, the astronaut cannot hold a candle to a mother. Pioneers in engineering and medicine are not as honorable or as necessary as a mother. And actresses certainly are far behind them, though both do pretend. Thus, the goals and dreams of men are not the ways of God. Men and women want to kick off their vocations in pursuit of themselves. They want earthly glory, not the glory of God, not the glory he bestows on them, through their faithful service. As Mary was following Christ, she did not understand everything, but she treasured up all things and pondered them in her heart, Scripture says. When he stayed at the temple at the age of 12, she received his word in faith. When he harshly rebuked her at Cana, she received his word in faith. She lived by faith in her son, confident that he was good, confident that he was her savior. Mary is an image and icon of the Christian church, of you and of me. You were chosen by grace and filled with the incarnate God. The womb of your faith cradles the flesh and blood of God. There was nothing special about you that you should believe, yet he loved you. His love gave you worth and meaning and purpose. He lifted you up out of your lowly estate and into heavenly dwellings. It's a great reversal. You, the sinner, are filled with Christ. You, the dead, are filled with life incarnate. You were lost, but now you are found. You hunger for righteousness and are filled with Christ in the Holy Supper, while those who boast in their accomplishments, their goodness, their importance, their skills, are struck down with his holy law. Blessed is Mary above all women, for she alone is the Mother of God. But blessed are you who hear the word of God and treasure it and ponder it in your heart. For whoever does the will of my Father, says Jesus, is my brother and sister and mother. So Mary does not go before you or receive anything different from you. You are equal to her, a child of God and a citizen of heaven. She is saved by grace through faith, even as you are saved by grace through faith. She was chosen by grace for a unique purpose, yet she was saved by grace. You were chosen by grace for your unique purpose, and you also are saved by grace. By grace, she entered heaven, and by grace, you too will enter heaven. So that woman in Revelation, clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars, is Mary. But she is also you who believe. For your radiant garment is the righteousness of Christ, the Son of God, draped over you in holy baptism. It hides your sinful shame. This alone makes you worthy before God and grants you safe passage from earth and into heaven. Who can claim any glory apart from Jesus? No man or woman, not even Mary, is worthy of heaven by their own merits. All have sinned, but in Christ all are declared righteous, and this righteousness shines brighter than the sun. The moon is the testimony of the scriptures on which we all take our stand. We will not move from them. And the 12 stars surrounding our head are the apostles who guide our thoughts toward Christ. No bishop, no pastor, no pope, no synodical official can turn our attention away from Christ or teach something he has not taught. For Christ alone is our Lord, and he alone has saved us with his holy, precious blood. We will not understand everything that Christ does in our life. There are many swords that pierce our hearts and trials that dampen our eyes. But like Mary, we are confident that Christ is good in all he does. When he points us to his death, we receive his word in faith. When he speaks to us harshly, we receive his word in faith, for we know our place. It's following him. We do not strive for earthly glory or even for recognition. We do not know why everything has happened, but we are content to know that Christ knows us and he loves us. So like Mary, we live by faith, and we also die in faith. For he who is mighty has remembered his mercy and has humbled himself to death on the cross, to exalt you into his heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.